Campari?
That play, because it sounds like a game of seeking, finding, disillusion, then the joy, because we think we found something, and then again the seeking starts. So all that Tom and Jerry game, this is how it reminds me of seeking and finding. And this point where we say, okay, now we are so fed up of all the identities, and even the identity of being a seeker. When this time has come, would you say that this is the essence of samadhi? Because samadhi is something which is, for some people, something to achieve, or that they think this is worth to experience. But if we really go through that, where we give up all the identification and we are ready for that, I mean, that is something. Yeah. Would you say this is then the door opener, and not knocking, the door opens for being in samadhi?
Every day, or rather every night, every person, everybody, whether he is familiar with this word samadhi or not, experiences samadhi, means absolute disappearance of the personality, of the individuality in that what is. And that what is. And that isness is my business. And this isness, which is my business, is God, is essence, is love. Love, abundance, truth. Every day, whether we want it or not, it has to happen, because this system, this computer, this system that we have, this organism, with this mental computer, with the biggest gift of the universe, would not be able to survive if it would not fall every day involuntarily, this we call deep sleep, into this samadhi state. Samadhi is a disappearance. But when we wake up the next morning, we neglect that state where we were gone. And the mind cannot be reminded of its own absence. If you ask the mind, where were you during deep sleep? It will simply say, I don't know. It cannot remember its own absence, because deep sleep happens only when the mind is absent. You know, in the dream state, when we sleep, the mind is not absent. It's projecting on the projector many films, many beautiful, sometimes not so beautiful, sometimes meaningful, often also not meaningful, things that we need to remember or re-experience again. You know, this is a beautiful gift by existence also in dreams sometimes, to re-evaluate certain happenings. They call it dream state. We dream. But your mind is active, actually. You even can put yourself in the dream and sometimes manipulate your dream. You know where this dream would end up to, and you already say, no, I don't want to go this way, I go that way. Still, you have options, actually. In the dream, you also have decisions. And many people, so-called lucid dreams, many people think they are close to enlightenment because they were in the dream voluntarily interfering and giving the direction of the dream. It's nothing special. It's just an aspect of the I, of the mental I, personality, which is being aware while it's sleeping and dreaming and going in the dream and manipulating the dream. It's nothing special. What the interesting point is the Sushup Jagrat, they call it, like when everything disappeared and you are awake, but you don't know it. You cannot know it, and you can know only things that you experience. But here the experiencer is gone. That is exactly the daily state of samadhi that everybody experiences, but next morning you cannot remember it. Now, when the same happens while you are awake, and you remember, you experience who you are, even when you as an experiencer disappears, this is called enlightenment, moksha. Suddenly, not with your mind, deeper than that, with the source itself, by itself, recognizes itself, not through the mind, because the mind is absent. But for some reason, you can still use your mind and talk about it. But it's not the mind that talks. It's itself that talks. It has seen itself without the reference of a mirror or a mind. And in the night, usually, we are completely unconscious of it. We have to disappear completely, otherwise we would not be really fresh the next day. If you dream the whole night and you toss and turn from left to right and you're not really gone, you will be after a few days so stressed out with the nerves that you will feel tired and not good. So each night God invites us in disappearance, charges our batteries with his presence while we are absent. That's why I say you with your mental presence and God with his essential presence, they can never meet. He is the source of everything, but they can never meet. So there's no direct logical way how to explain God and how to reach that. It's like if you try to reach your mind to disappear, the mind will say, and how shall I do it, huh? You smart ass. Teach me. Meditate. So be quiet. And then the mind, okay, I'm quiet. Did you hear? I'm quiet. It can play the role that you give it. But when the mind is completely gone, this is in deep sleep, when you basically are gone as an identification of the mind. And this can happen while you are Jagrat, but you are awake. You're always knowing somehow beyond knowing that you are present, that you're here. That's why they say an awakened person sleeps while everybody's awake, and he looks awake, he sleeps. Deep inside is the same state, deep sleep state. Because you don't forget it, you know, this was the source. Otherwise, you would not be able to survive, so to say, in this body. The body needs this disappearance. The mental body needs also the disappearance. Otherwise, you cannot think clearly. So to be gone means actually to be present. This is the big, sounds absurd, but this is exactly how it is.
Because honestly, I have to admit, so when I listen, and when you said, okay, to be, we are absent and awake at the same time, and you know, immediately, like my intellect and my mind started, okay, trying to find some logic behind that. But in fact, that's not logical. As you said, you cannot explain it. And as you shared before, just you're awake. It's awake. It's there. It's and there is something which is beyond words. It's like not describable.
Yeah, but look, every day when you wake up, if I ask you, where were you when you were gone? You will say, yeah, I was gone. This I know, but I don't know where and what happened. But somehow you even know that you were absent. So where is this knowledge coming from? It's not from the mind, because the mind was absent. So it means the voice of God, of this absence of the mind, is still there. So you can say, I know that I was gone. Wow, what a statement. Means you know you were gone. Something deeper than this mental presence is also functioning in you, so that you can say, but you don't give it the attention it deserves, actually. Means, actually, one should think, wait a minute, how can I know that I was gone? I really know. Every night, actually, you have to go. One can do it, actually, even in sleep laboratories. They measure even the eye, they call it REM, rapid eye movement period, when you go like this, when the eye go left and right, you know this person is dreaming right now. He's not gone. He's just in another state. It's very close to wakefulness. He's sometimes even moving, so the body is also active, the mind is active. And then at one point when everything disappears, then the sleeper is lost, the mind is gone, it's no movement at all. It's like a corpse. And that is exactly the state where the body's been really recharged with all its vital energy it needs, all the troubles and the things, they all settle down. You come up the next morning refreshed, and when you're being asked, where were you in the deep sleep state? You will say, I don't know. I was simply not there. I was gone. So it means actually you're present even while you're gone. So something is present while you are gone.
And who is that I who is asking or who is knowing that he was gone?
Exactly. This is the question to be asked then to this asker, the one who asks. Who is the one that wants to know it also? And who sees it that he was gone? Who is the one that wants to know it? And who is aware of this? There's wordlessness. Because God has no words necessarily. He doesn't need words. It's us who need words. Because we cannot explain God, it doesn't mean he doesn't exist. And because we cannot explain our absence, it doesn't mean that our absence was absolute. It was the presence of something else. We cannot only find words for the wordlessness. We can find words only for things one can somehow describe, and with the help of some imagination, even idealistic words. Like the Greeks, the ancient philosophers were very good in this. They invented many words for consciousness, many words for mental activities. Even German and English words have no, like this word idea is actually not some substantial thing. Plato was working very much with this word ideas, because for him it was creations. He was like samskaras, you can say. He was forming, the brain is forming ideas and preferences and ideas and concepts according to which you want to live. And he examined this actually. Where do they come from, originated? And he came up with he found out that they come from a wordless, idealess source, which emanates all the time ideas. And you are the one who is basically creating all this. The moment you stop this, you live as that which is. Another beautiful explanation of moksha, liberation, enlightenment.